From somewhere in the bayous, almost live, it's the Swamp Swami audio podcast. And here's the star of your show, Swamp Swami.
If you're a colorblind guy, you're not going to be happy with the upcoming Super Bowl matchup. Oh no, not again. For the second time in 3 years, it's going to be the red-clad Kansas City Chiefs squaring off with Philadelphia's green Eagles again in the Super Bowl. Now, for all 8% of us men, including me, the ability to distinguish the red-colored uniforms worn by the Chiefs and the green-colored team from Philadelphia might present a bit of a problem. According to one medical source, the red-green color blindness is an inherited X chromosome condition. Gee, thanks, Mom. Decades ago, I still possibly owned the record for a Shreveport-based natural gas utility company by missing 17 out of their 20 questions on a required color blindness test. The attending nurse was absolutely aghast with my pitiful results. The only reason she did pass me was after I advised that my new job primarily involved reading and reviewing contract agreements. Whew. In New Orleans, in less than 2 weeks, those of us with red and green colorblindness issues are going to be thankful that one of those two NFL teams is going to be wearing white uniforms. And speaking of which, it's time to fly, Eagles, fly! Last week, Philadelphia's mayor was so fired up about Sunday's game with Washington that she couldn't even remember how to spell the team's nickname. Listen.
E-L-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Regardless of the mayor's grammatical lapse, her hometown Eagles, that is, grabbed the lead for good after the team's first offensive snap in the opening quarter of the game. Philadelphia running back Saquon Barkley ran around, over, and through the Washington defense for a 60-yard touchdown run on his team's first offensive play from scrimmage. And from there, the Eagles soared to a 55-23 rout over Washington and into their third Super Bowl game in the last 8 years. With a balanced running and passing attack on Sunday afternoon, Philadelphia took advantage of 4 Washington turnovers to run away with this game in the second half. Former Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts ran for 3 scores, as did Saquon Barkley, and it was the first time in NFL history that two players on the same team have scored 3 touchdowns on the ground in an NFL playoff game. How about that? In the upcoming February 9th Super Bowl game in New Orleans, Philadelphia is going to try to avenge a 38-35 loss to, yes, Kansas City in that 2023 championship contest. But for the Buffalo Bills, this is getting downright ridiculous. When the same team keeps you from making it to the Super Bowl for the 4th time in 5 seasons, it might be getting into the heads of those Buffalo Bills players. And Buffalo desperately wanted to return to the Super Bowl game for the first time since 1993. You might remember, or might not want to remember, that the Buffalo Bills played in the Super Bowl back in 1990, losing to the New York Giants, 1991, losing to Washington, 92, losing to the Dallas Cowboys, and yes, 4 years in a row, 1993, losing to Dallas again.
How about them Cowboys?
But in Kansas City Sunday afternoon, the Chiefs head coach Andy Reid proved once again why he is the best strategist in all the NFL. With the Chiefs nursing a slim 3-point lead and just a minute to go in this game, Coach Reid allowed his quarterback Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball, a short pass, for a game-clinching first down and ending the Bills' fading chances. Most of the NFL coaches would have probably gone the safe route and opted for a running play to avoid a clock stoppage in the event the pass attempt fell incomplete. But not Andy Reid. If Buffalo never gets the football back, even with less than a minute to play and no timeouts, the Bills cannot tie or win the game. Final score, Kansas City 32, Buffalo 29. So it's mission accomplished for Kansas City and their exceptionally clever head coach. Now, this gem of a game between two of the best teams in the NFL was a back-and-forth slugfest, as usual. Buffalo battled back in the final quarter to tie the game at 29 apiece with 6 minutes left. Then the hometown Chiefs, encouraged by their very loud home crowd, worked their way downfield and kicked the 33-yard field goal with a little bit more than 3 minutes to go in what turned out to be the winning points of this game. Now, statistically speaking, the football game was almost even. But with the win, Kansas City is now an incredible 11-0 in games this year decided by one touchdown or less. Whether you think that's lucky or not, the Chiefs have earned the chance for their third straight Super Bowl win for the first time since the AFL and NFL merged back in 1970. And for Buffalo, it's back to the drawing board and another long offseason to contemplate how they can overcome their latest loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. In other sporting news from this past weekend, stop crying, Buffalo. Kim Mulkey and the LSU women's basketball team just can't shake their 17-game losing streak to the University of South Carolina. Entering Columbia, South Carolina late Friday afternoon, Coach Kim Mulkey's 20-0 LSU Tigers women's basketball team was determined to end their 16-game losing streak to the Gamecocks. Well, we can make that 17 games in a row now. LSU jumped out to a 16-11 first quarter lead, but then couldn't hit the proverbial broadside of a barn for the remaining three quarters of this contest. The Tigers shot a woeful 29.9% from the field in losing 66-56 to the second-ranked Carolina Gamecocks, who are now 19-1. So we can chalk it up to South Carolina's very tight defense and their platooning system, where the Gamecocks rotate 10 players in and out of the lineup to keep their defensive pressure turned up. After the game, LSU's coach Kim Mulkey said, quote, "To me, it was the turnovers at the most critical time that allowed the crowd to get into it and allowed them to gain a little bit more confidence." LSU's next chance to break the South Carolina jinx will perhaps come in the SEC tournament in March, or maybe in the NCAA March Madness National Tournament. Regardless, the Tigers bounced back on Sunday afternoon to beat Texas A&M 64-51 in Baton Rouge and improve their record to 21-1. The number 7-ranked Tigers this week are going to host number 13 Oklahoma, who is 16-4 on the year, this coming Thursday night at 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. And then LSU is going to round out a 3-game homestand this coming Sunday with a 1 p.m. tip-off against very surprising Mississippi State, who rolls in at 16-5. That game will be carried by the SEC Network. Elsewhere this weekend, in case you missed it, the Dallas Cowboys roped another puppet for Jerry Jones to control. Fans of those Dallas Cowboys can forget about Deion Sanders and Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll and a multitude of other well-known coaches for their open head coaching position. Owner Jerry Jones has elevated this year's offensive coordinator to become the newest head coach of his own personal toy known as the Dallas Cowboys. 51-year-old Brian Schottenheimer, the son of legendary football coach Marty Schottenheimer, has never ever been a head coach in either college or the NFL. But according to owner Jerry Jones, his new Dallas Cowboys football coach gets along swimmingly with the Cowboys' $60 million a year quarterback, Dak Prescott. I guess that warrants a 4-year contract and a promotion to the team's head coach. We'll come back and talk about that hire in more detail soon. And finally, the feds say nyet to the Utah Yeti. The former National Hockey League franchise in Phoenix, known as the Coyotes, was relocated to Salt Lake City over the summer and became, at least for now, the Utah Hockey Club. The team decided to play their first year in Salt Lake City as the Utah Hockey Club in order to allow the fans and team management to determine the best nickname for their hockey team. The team name of the Utah Yetis has caught fire in Salt Lake City in the last few months, and the preferred name, though, has run into a very large stumbling block. Yes, the U.S. Patent Office has waved its "not today" finger at the Utah hockey franchise in the past week. A merchandising company you may have heard of also has the name Yeti registered with the Patent Office. The U.S. Patent Office has now denied the application for the hockey team to use that same name. The feds released a statement saying, quote, "The singular or plural form of a registered mark is essentially the same in sound, appearance, meaning, and commercial impression, and thus the marks are confusingly similar." Here's how you do it. Let the Yeti merchandising folks buy a portion of the Utah NHL team, and then the Yeti owners will be able to tell the patent office that there is absolutely no conflict at all. He shoots! He scores!
Yes!
I'm Swamp Swami.